In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper on that first Holy Thursday, he did not do it as a completely isolated event, as a completely new and novel thing. The Holy Evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that our Lord instituted this supper during the time of the Passover. Specifically, he did so during the Passover meal that he and his disciples were celebrating together. And so it is that our Lord intends for us to see his Holy Supper given to his church in connection with the Passover and Exodus events of Exodus chapters 12 through 15. And there in those chapters, the story of the Passover and the Exodus contain a number of important elements that are critical for our proper understanding of what this Lord's Supper is. First of all, the Lord instructed his people Israel that as a part of this impending Passover, they were to sacrifice the Passover lamb. Its blood would be shed so that they might be preserved when the judgment of the Lord came upon the land of Egypt. Next, they were instructed to take that lamb that had been sacrificed, and along with unleavened bread and wine and a few other items, they were to make the Passover meal, which they were to eat together, eating the lamb's flesh along with the bread and the wine and the other items of the meal. And this meal was to be eaten in haste, with staff in hand, sandals on the feet, and belt around the waist. Was to be eaten in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover, and the Lord intended to lead his people Israel out of slavery in Egypt that very night, which is exactly what he did. He led them out of Egypt, and eventually through the waters of the Red Sea to freedom. But the Lord intended for this Passover to not merely be a one-time event that was relegated to Israel's history. He instituted this meal as a memorial whereby his people would forever observe this meal in remembrance of how the Lord had delivered their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. We read of this instruction in Exodus chapter 12 when the Lord says to the Israelites, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So we see clearly that this Passover was not intended to be merely a one-time event, but rather it was to be preserved in the memory of God's people through this yearly remembrance and through this yearly Passover meal. And so each year, the Israelite households would gather together, they would sacrifice the Passover lamb, and they would join together in a meal where the head of the household would sit and give teaching and instruction, especially to the young children, but also for the sake of those who had heard the story before, so that they may be reminded of and ever have the significance of the Lord's deliverance of his people at the Passover at the front of their minds. Through this meal, the Israelites of future generations would ritually participate in their history, recalling the salvation that the Lord had worked for their ancestors who were in Egypt, and in a ritualistic way participate in it themselves as they looked forward to the continual grace and mercy that the Lord showed to them in the present and that he would continue to show to them in the future. It is into this context that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper as the new and greater Passover meal. It is the new and greater meal, but it is not brand new. Because, of course, this meal finds its roots in that Old Testament Passover meal. But this meal, the Lord's Supper, we are told, is a meal of the new covenant in Christ's blood. Thus, St. Paul instructs the Corinthians in our epistle text for today that they cannot simply do their own thing with the Lord's Supper because the meal is not theirs. The meal is the Lord's Supper. He is the one who has given it to them. This meal is not an invention of the church, but it is a meal and an ordinance received directly from Christ himself. And it must be observed according to his institution of it. And so on the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took up the role of the head of the household in teaching and instructing his disciples, not just about the Passover and the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, but he took up the role of teaching undoubtedly to give his disciples a new understanding of this impending Passover that he would endure, the new significance that it would take upon itself for them and for their salvation. And so he probably instructed them about the Passover lamb who had been slaughtered by the Israelites when they were in Egypt in order to preserve them from the coming judgment of God. And he undoubtedly showed them how he was about to become the greater Passover lamb, the one who would be slaughtered so that they might be delivered from God's judgment. He undoubtedly instructed them about the unleavened bread, which was used as a part of the meal because Israel was to eat in haste, for they were to depart from their slavery that very night. But this unleavened bread now has become Christ's body. And the wine, the cup that was passed around and shared at the meal, this wine is now Christ's blood, given and shed for his people. How is it that this bread is Christ's body and the wine is his blood? Well, that is probably the wrong question to be asking. See, the mysterious working of the God of the universe cannot be comprehended by mere mortals. The one who created the universe simply by his word works among us through mysteries that we cannot always understand. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants, whether or not we can understand it. And so rather than asking how these things can be in the Lord's Supper, the better question to ask is, what does this mean? What does this mean that Christ gives us his very body and blood in the bread and in the wine? The answer to this question can be seen in the words that our Lord left us as his last will and testament. This is my body, which is given for you. From these words, we learn that our Lord Jesus Christ has given himself for us. His body is given for us into death. We will reflect more on this reality tomorrow on Good Friday. But these words also teach us that not only has Jesus Christ, our Lord, given himself for us as our Passover lamb, but he has also given himself to us, as the words take, eat, indicate. Our Lord expects us to take this bread that is his body and to eat it, to receive it, because he has given himself not only for us, but also to us. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we of course, remember the cross and what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished there. But more than that, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we receive the benefits of the cross. For the cross is merely a meaningless historical event for us if we do not have any way to receive its benefits. But thanks be to God that our Lord Jesus Christ has instituted the means of grace as means by which we can receive the benefits of the cross through the word and through the sacraments. Our Lord also tells us, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a new covenant sealed in his blood. This is like unto the first covenant that was sealed with the blood of goats and lambs. And yet, this covenant is similar but different, because this is a covenant which is sealed by a once-for-all sacrifice, not the continual sacrifices that the Old Testament people of God had to continue to offer. There's a once-and-for-all sacrifice of Christ where in his blood was offered upon the altar of the cross for us. And now he gives himself to us in this sacred meal. Our Lord indicates that ultimately the Lord's Supper is all about the forgiveness of sins. His blood has been shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Though you were not slaves in Egypt as the Israelites were, yet you were slaves to sin. But through Christ's Passover, you have been redeemed from sin. And through this meal that he has given to his church, you are strengthened so that you might live in the freedom that Christ has earned for you, that you might not fall back into that slavery. Through this meal, you are strengthened not merely by remembering what Christ has done for us, as the Israelites remembered God's salvation at the Exodus. But you are strengthened in this meal by participation in the body and blood of Christ. You are strengthened by your reception of Christ into your very body. And so, my friends, as we recall the Passover of our Lord's blessed passion during these holy days, may he strengthen us through his body and his blood by means not only of our remembrance of what he has done for us, but also by the reception of his body and blood until he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.